All right, good morning, everybody. Good to see you guys here. Let's get started. This is adult Sunday school class. We've been going through the book of Ecclesiastes. We'll continue that. What did you say, Laura? Adult. Is this really adult Sunday school class? Yeah. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 is where we are this morning. We're going to talk about a great, great subject about watching your mouth. So this will be good. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And we'll do the first 7 verses here. I'll just read them to you, and we'll talk about them. It says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words." So you got 2 verses and then kind of a summation of those 2, and then you got 3 more verses and kind of a similar summation. Verse 4, "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldst not vow than thou shouldst vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God." All right, let's pray. And all of this deals with what comes out of our mouths. And so there's so much instruction in righteousness that deals with what comes out of your mouth. Proverbs is full of it, and I mean, there's it's all over the Bible, but the Lord talks about it. So this is where we are in Ecclesiastes, but let's pray, and we will we'll get started. Randy, you want to pray for us? Amen. Amen. All right. So the next thing Solomon observes is that when people start to feel the effects of the vanity of life and all that, they sometimes make promises to God. I mean, you'll see, I don't know, y'all have seen it, I'm sure, but, and it's not necessarily bad that you know, you come to church in trouble, but people think that by their making these statements to God or promising God things, that he's going to sort of make a deal with them. And that's not really the way God works. He doesn't make a deal with you. He provides good things, and you listen or you don't listen, and you receive or you don't receive. And so this is what Solomon's talking about. There's so much that comes out of people's mouths that it isn't useful, and you find out that the Lord is more serious about what comes out of our mouths than probably we are, and so he takes it very seriously. And it reminds me of what Jesus says when he said that in Matthew 15. You don't have to go there, but he says it's not that which goes into the mouth that defiles the man, and it's what comes out of his mouth that defiles him. And that's exactly what Solomon's saying. It's what comes out of your mouth that makes you defiled. So that said, making God promises is not what the Lord's looking for. He's looking for people to listen to his promises. And that's what faith really is, about listening. So that's the first thing he says. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. The sacrifice of fools is just these promises to God. I'm going to do this, Lord. If you'll do this, then I'm going to do this, and I'll make this better. I'll do this right if you'll do this for me. And sometimes it gets desperate. Why aren't you doing this? And if you were doing this, then I would be doing this. And so Solomon says, you know, that's not the approach. That's not the approach to God. You approach God with an open ear, because you benefit from what he says. He doesn't benefit from what you tell him. You benefit from what he tells you. And that's the way it is. Faith is about listening. And I guess we don't consider that that God does take our words more serious than we do a lot of times. But the Lord doesn't need my vocal commitment. He wants surrender is what he wants. He doesn't need me to tell him what I'm going to do. I need him to tell me what I need to do. So he doesn't need commitment from me. He needs surrender. And I don't need to commit to anything. I mean, as far as vocally, I don't need to tell him I'm going to do these things. I need to just listen to what he said to do. The Lord doesn't need that sort of thing. He doesn't need promises made by you or me. He wants you and I to accept his promises. What did he say? That's the basis of a faithful relationship. You listen to what the Lord says, just like Paul said, you know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You listen, and that's what you're after. That's what Solomon says. Be careful not to open your mouth and tell God about all the things you're going to do in order to make some deal with him and get something out of him, because that's not the way he operates. And a lot of times you'd be just held accountable for that kind of stuff. But the Lord doesn't want my promises. He doesn't want your promises. He wants me and you to accept his promises, to listen. Better yet, I don't need to promise God anything, because it doesn't need anything from me. And so I need to accept what he says. So this is the gist of what Solomon starts off with. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear, to listen, than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Now that's an interesting thought. They don't consider that the deal you're trying to make is it is not only a bad deal, but he says they consider not that they do evil. That they're trying to make a bargain with an almighty God that it's perverting judgment in a way. So this is the idea. Second verse, first point is really be ready to listen. Be more ready to listen. And then verse 2, be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. Be not rash with thy mouth. Verse 2, let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God's in heaven and thou upon the earth, therefore let thy words be few. So slow down, think about what you're saying before you say it. And he says, let your words be few. I'll give you, there's, like I said, there's so many cross-references to these things. Look in James chapter 5. I'll give you one in James. James talks a lot about the mouth. What comes out of your mouth? James chapter 5, verse 12, he says this. So slow to speak, slow to speak. James 5:12 says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. That sounds like something I think Jesus said, that let your yea be yea and nay, nay, and all that stuff, and I think even Paul said it. So you don't need to emphasize what you're saying with some promise and some, you know, and that's what people do with cursing, and they try to emphasize what they're saying and make it more strengthened or just more solid, but that's not how you treat God here. This is something you be careful with your mouth. Like James says, there's a good, I don't know, I thought this was a good little acronym. It's WAIT. Why am I talking? WAIT. Why am I talking? Just fill the silence. I just need to hear sound. Yeah. So you got to be careful with all that stuff. Solomon also say in Proverbs, he said, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. So you just keep talking, and eventually your mouth betrays yourself and things like that. He says, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. So there is a righteous component to all of this, of controlling the mouth and fearing God, which we'll get to in the end. But first of all, be ready to listen. You come to the house of God, you're ready to listen, not ready to talk and make promises and tell God what you're going to do. And, I understand, and you pray and you get on your knees and Lord help and all that kind of stuff. But that bargaining with God stuff, it doesn't work. Be slow to speak. Second thing, slow to speak before God. Be not rash with thy mouth. Then this is kind of the summation of these two verses. He says, For dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. So you can identify an orange by what it looks like and tastes like. You can identify a car by what it looks like. And you can identify a fool by what he sounds like. And so that's the idea. You just talk and the mouth betrays itself. Which is, this all goes with something that the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew about false prophets. And we should probably go there. But in fact, let's do that. Matthew chapter 12, I'll show you something. That a fool is known by the multitude of words. So in Matthew 12, starting in verse 33, well, maybe a little bit earlier than that. Let's see. This is part of it, but there's probably a better one in Matthew 7. Let me look at this one. Yeah. Look in Matthew 7:15. This is about words and what comes out of somebody's mouth. And this is Solomon's warning. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ's warning. He says in verse 15, beware of false prophets. So, before I read on, what is false about these people he's talking about? It's what's coming out of their mouth, as we keep reading. Which come to you in sheep's clothing. So you can't look at them and say, well, I can identify that is a wolf. You can't. They come to you and they look like lambs. But inwardly they're ravening wolves, and eventually that comes out. You shall know them by their fruits. That doesn't mean by what they're doing, because what they're doing, they're hiding what they're actually, their heart's intent. The fruit is what's coming out of their mouth. I give you just before we continue here, There's a proverb that says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And there's a few other verses like that, but the fruit is what's coming out of his mouth. You shall know them by their fruits, because you can't know them by what they look like. They look like sheep. Even so, verse 17, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. That's that proverb. A man's belly should be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit, hewn down, cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So you won't know them by their appearances. You won't know them by maybe even their behaviors. What you will know is by the multitude of words and the talking and the speech eventually betrays the motive. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you identify, this is what Solomon says, you can identify a fool by what he says. You may not be identifying him by his clothing, by the way he interacts, but by what he says. And so this is what Jesus Christ says, beware of false prophets. This is what they do. They come to you in sheep's clothing, they pretend to be something, but eventually their mouth betrays them, and they say stuff that is it betrays their intents and things like that. So back over here in Ecclesiastes, he says, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. That's true. That tree illustration, it reminds me when Jesus Christ says every good tree brings forth good fruit, bad tree, bad fruit, all that kind of thing. It reminds me that when John the Baptist was preaching about Jesus Christ's ministry, the first coming, he says, now the axe is laid to the root, about to cut down the tree, and he likens men to trees a lot of times. And so that's a continuation. That's the same theme he's going on there. The point is, foolishness is identified by what comes out of someone's mouth. Now back over here in Ecclesiastes. He starts sort of a second round of this, of explaining the problems that happen with people's mouths. Verse 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. All right, Sunday school class. Is there a good example? I'm sure most of y'all already know where I'm going with this. A good example of somebody who made a vow to God that really messed up their life. Old Testament. Jephthah. Yeah. Jephthah. Esau. What was the one on Esau, Alan? He sold it. As far as a vow goes, though. A vow, Jephthah is a really good one. It is. Anybody remember what happened with Jephthah? So he makes this promise to God that if he wins the battle, that the first thing that comes out of his house, he'll sacrifice it to God. And you know what comes out of his house as soon as he gets home? His daughter. That's this right here. That's people making promises. You don't need to make that promise. That was something that Jephthah would win the battle without the promise. He doesn't need to make God a promise that he's going to make this extra sacrifice. He just needs to obey God. That's all the Lord's looking for, but then you start adding these things to it. And this is why Solomon says this stuff is, you don't consider that you do evil when you do this. You make this promise and you overextend and you do things that really aren't needed or necessary. So yeah, Jephthah's a good example of this right here. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. But how about this idea? Verse 5, better is it that thou should not vow. just shut your mouth. Just listen to God and close your mouth. You don't need to make a promise. Better it is that thou shouldst not vow than thou shouldst vow and not pay. So, first of all, the point is, pay what you told God you're going to pay if you make some promise. And I mean, we can read it in Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Moses said, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin unto thee. So you put yourself under a curse when you make a promise to God, But if you just don't make the promise, then there's no, there's nothing there. It's okay. So this goes back to, it's better to just, when you go to the house of God, you listen. We'll make promises to God. That's what, you know, I don't know exactly how all this stuff works out in people's lives, but there are things I think we do in church, and I say religion, but you get people to, sometimes the point is to get them to make a promise to God. I remember, y'all remember the, there was a big movement, Promise Keepers. Remember that? And I mean, this is what you don't want to get into this thing. You don't want to get into this where you're making God these promises. I'll say, I think about it. We don't do it. And, but I think about stuff like, y'all probably heard of faith promise and stuff like that, where you make this promise and this pledge at the beginning of the year or whatever the fiscal year is. And really it's about budgeting. That's kind of what it's really about. But that, and when I read this, I mean, does God, because some people make these promises and then they lose their job. And then now I've made this promise to God. So that's why the wisdom of Solomon is just don't make the promise. Just don't make the promise. So I don't know. I think some, and even in prayer, you know, you get people to a point of, you know, I promise I'll never do this again. I'll never do this again. I'll never do this again. It's like, no. Don't tell God what you're going to do. Just listen to him. Just listen to what he's saying. Quit telling him what you're going to do. You don't know what you're going to do tomorrow. You don't know what you're going to do in a week. You don't know what your life is going to look like in a week. I mean, it's like James says, look, just day by day, you just have to, you deal with the 24 hours sufficient to the evil is the day thereof. I mean, it's just quit making these extended problems. You have no idea what's going to happen. So the Lord says, look, it's just listen. When you go to the house of God, listen. Don't make a deal with me. I don't need your bargaining. I don't need your promises. I don't need your vocal commitment about something. I just need you to hear what I'm telling you. And then, you know, you see all the trouble it gets people into. Jesus did say it. He did say in Matthew 5, he says, let your yea be yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these, whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. So this is birthed in a bad place when you start making these things, these promises. And then back in Ecclesiastes, verse 5, better is it that thou shouldst not vow, and thou shouldst vow not pay. Just don't vow. Verse 6 kind of explains it. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Don't write checks your body can't cash, so to speak. Neither say thou before the angel. Now, just a note, it seems like the angel is like a priest or something. I don't know why I'd be talking to an angel, but sometimes it seems like he's that word is used in just a, like you and I would use the word, that person is an angel, and it's just the way we would use it. That is, he says, that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? So sin that comes out of your mouth is saying things because you can't produce. Look in Matthew chapter 23. I'll show you another little cross reference here about this, where the sin's coming out of the mouth. Matthew 23. And it's interesting that these things that Solomon warns about, they become part of people's religion, that they do these things. Matthew 23:16. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he's a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it's nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he's guilty. You see where this is going with their after? The gold, the gifts. Yeah, that's the important stuff to them. Verse 19, ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whosoever shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. A warning about this. It's just interesting that this whole thing in Solomon, that Solomon warns about. I mean, he said, don't do this. And now you read in the New Testament that Jesus Christ is dealing with priests who have actually made policy about this particular sin. Like, you swear by this and you swear by that. We want you to swear by this and the gold and we want the gifts and all that kind of stuff. And they forget the sanctifying part, and they forget that they make the whole thing profane. And so it's sanctified sin that comes out of people's mouths, and at least in this religious setting. And so he kind of concludes this little section with this thought. Verse 7, back in Ecclesiastes. He concludes it with this thought. For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. When I read that, that is a, I don't know, it struck me a little bit different this time reading it, that this controlling your mouth has to do with a fear of God. And that God, like I said, takes things far more serious as far as what comes out of your mouth than you or I do. And so fearing God looks like sometimes, as far as what comes out of your mouth, you consider what God thinks about it, and you might reconsider flattery. You might reconsider gossip. You might reconsider the complaining, murmuring, stuff like that. You might reconsider the lies, might reconsider excuses. And so all of these things that come out of the mouth, just like Jesus Christ said, it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. And so fearing God looks like controlling your mouth. I've never really thought about it that way. You know, we go to those verses that fear God's long life and fear God's this and fearing God's that and fearing God's this and that. But fearing God is also controlling your mouth. And that's what this whole section seems to be. In the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities. So the talking and the constant talking and constant talking and constant talking, and eventually you say stuff that you shouldn't say, and point is, control it. Fear thou God. James does the same thing with this. He does the same thing with this. Look in James chapter 1. And he makes the spiritual connection to this. James 1:26. And this will be the end point here. James 1:26. Says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. That's exactly what Solomon said. Fear thou God. James just says, if it's not controlled, whatever you think you have, that's it's self-deception. because the Spirit of God controls the mouth and controls the heart, controls those things that comes out of the heart. So James just puts it real bluntly. If you seem to be religious, you seem to be religious. Maybe a false prophet, they seem to be religious. They don't control what comes out of their mouth. It's like, that religion is vain, because it can't control what's coming out there. So fear God by controlling your mouth. All of these warnings, I mean, it's be ready to listen, slow to speak. You can identify a fool by the multitude of words and the voice. If you promise something, pay it. But it's a bit better, just don't promise anything. God doesn't need your promises. He doesn't need you to make a deal with him. He needs you to listen to him. He needs you to obey him. He needs you to consider what he says before you consider what you say. And then it's the what comes out of the mouth, that's the sin, that's the thing. And so Solomon concludes with, fear God by controlling your mouth, just like James does. If any man, how does he say it? If any man among you seem to be religious, bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. That's a pretty blunt statement about the voice and the mouth and what comes out of it. So just, it's a warning. It's Solomon just going over these things he observes in life, and he notices that when people, I don't know, people get in a bind in their life, or they start to feel the effects of vanity of this life and the corruption of this life. Sometimes they start making promises to God and start trying to make deals with God, and Solomon's like, just don't do that. What you need to do is close your mouth and start listening. Listen to God. Listen to what he's saying. So that's a little lesson on controlling the mouth, Solomon's observations on what comes out of people's mouths. So let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, thank you for these words. I do pray that you'd help us make the applications where they need to be made. Thank you for each soul that's here. I do want to lift up Randy and Maureen and Hannah and the passing of Randy's mom. I pray that you'd comfort them. It is a bittersweet thing, but to pray that your grace and mercy be abundant in their comforting, and just the loss and the separation there. But we are grateful that she's not in pain anymore. And then for Billy, pray that you would really, that you would take her quickly, just the suffering and being trapped in a body. It's just, it becomes a mess at the end. And just I pray that you would take her peacefully. I pray that you give Tommy and Laura wisdom about all this, but just pray your grace and mercy would be upon her and upon their family, and that you would address this the way it needs to be addressed here. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your words. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.